Chapter 12. Recap the Essentials. Trading requires the mastery of a number of skills, including market analysis and tape reading, execution, emotional balance, and especially money management. A trader can achieve a high level of proficiency in one or more of these skills, but that is not enough. A trader has to be good at all of them. Furthermore, it is not sufficient that the skills are mastered in isolation. The winning trader must integrate them into a daily routine and get them all working together. Such mastery is not easy, and it is not attained overnight. But with dedication and many hours of hard work, the art of trading can be mastered and the successful student can join the winner's circle. Several years ago, someone at DTI came up with an idea that has helped many of my students. If we are profitable at the end of the day, even if we are only profitable by $1, we put a green circle on our calendar. We work very hard to stay in what we call green circle country. This may sound silly, but it helps us remember our goal and hold ourselves accountable. No one enjoys looking at his or her calendar and seeing a lot of red days. On the other hand, we take great pride in our rows of green circles. This chapter is a review of the materials presented. Hopefully, it will help you synthesize the information and understand how it all fits together so that you can join the winners in green circle country. Trading is time sensitive. There are some hours and time segments during the day when the chances of success, at least with my method, are generally best. There are other times when a wise trader will usually stay out of the market and be a spectator. The good times are those times with the greatest liquidity and volatility. I designated these times as trade zones because these are the times that I believe my chances of success are best. I have three zones during each trading day. The times are as follows: 9 to 10:15 a.m., 12 noon to 1:15 p.m., and 2:15 to 2:45 p.m. These generally active markets offer the opportunity for me to use my three T's of trading approach, and they also make reading the tape easier for me, because the markets tend to be more predictable when there's activity. If the market gets too quiet and the volume falls off dramatically, the indicators are less reliable, and you may have to keep a position open for too long without getting paid. While you're just sitting in a stale, slow market, a heavy player can step in and artificially move prices, resulting in a losing position for you. Therefore, you do not want to buy or sell and just sit and wait. A quick turn in the market could catch you like a deer in the headlights. Just like the scene at a deer car collision, it would probably not be a pretty sight. In addition to these generally ideal trading times, there are also some times when you want to stay out of the markets. Between 1:30 and 2:15 p.m., there is often a counter trend, and even well-placed protective stops can be hit. I refer to this time as the Grim Reaper, and I keep my hands away from my mouse. Also, if I trade between 12:30 and 1 p.m., I am always a buyer. That is the case because during this 30-minute period, the market often gives off false signals. It may appear to be selling off, but more often than not, by 1 p.m., it finally decides to move up, even if just slightly. Therefore, during this time, I either buy or stay out of the market. I lost money too many times by shorting the market during this time. Know how markets are trading around the clock and around the globe. The United States is only one nation among many, and likewise, U.S. markets are not the do-all and be-all of the financial world. After U.S. day sessions end, night sessions open in New York and Chicago, and day sessions open in Asia and Europe, while Americans are sleeping. The most active markets tend to be the markets in the countries where the sun is shining. Some of the largest United States companies are traded on foreign exchanges. Therefore, knowing how the Nikkei, Tokyo, Hang Seng, Hong Kong, DAX, German, FTSE, London, CAC, French, and other markets are trading can give us insight into how our markets are doing around the globe. It can also give us some idea of the strength or weakness of some of the other powerful economic forces around the world. By having this information, I think I have an edge on traders that do not have it. When the markets in Chicago and New York open for their daily trading sessions, I feel as though I have a little more information than the average person because I did a little more homework and have an idea about what is going on in major foreign markets. The German DAX is a big index, and I both trade it during the early morning hours and I use it as a market indicator. It is part of my tape reading process. As long as it is open, it is one of the gauges that I use to determine market direction. Is it bullish or bearish? Does it agree or disagree with the Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P futures? The bottom line is that I use a 24-hour trading clock to gain a market edge. I do not stay up all night. I have software that records and charts the information that I need. Yearly times are also very important. The single most significant market data that I gather every year is the opening prices for the markets, indices, commodities, and stocks that I plan to trade during the course of the year. I then use that information to begin forming a monthly and weekly trend line. By always knowing the direction of my line and its distance away from its opening price, I am able to determine whether the market's big picture trend is bullish or bearish. Having this information helps me to stay on the right side of the market and avoid the pitfalls of false and momentary market moves that the big boys may make in an attempt to take my money. Pay attention to holidays. New Year's Day is not the only date that a savvy trader needs to watch. There are other dates that the market seems to use as benchmark spots to review and reassess itself. These noteworthy dates include April 15th, Memorial Day, July 4th, Labor Day, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. In fact, the entire month of December is a fantastic time for my trading. The holiday spirit often begins in the market in late November and continues until the big New Year celebration in Times Square. December is not always an up month, but in my experience, it is a very financially lucrative time for me to trade, and I love it. Time out helps break a losing streak. Everybody has losing times during their trading. Sometimes we may have difficulty for just a day or two, while other times may last for days or even weeks. One of the ways a trader can break a losing streak is to take some time off. Rest, clear your mind, and try to analyze your mistakes. How can you alter your trading to turn your losers into winners? During this time off, if you trade, do simulations or paper trade. Don't put your money at risk until you have identified and corrected the problem. Every market, exchange, index, commodity, and stock respects some price points more than others. These honored points tend to be pivotal areas where support and resistance are exerted. There are two types of key numbers: historical key numbers and numbers that have flexed their muscles in recent trading. For a list of historical numbers, you may want to glance back at Chapter 3. However, the list provided is not all-inclusive. The best way to identify key numbers is through observation and study over time. Other key numbers rise to the surface as the markets trade. For example, as the markets move downward, buyers step in at certain points and offer support. And as the markets move upward, sellers step in at other points to try to hold it down. These support and resistance price points are key numbers. If you want to be a winner, you need to know them. By having this knowledge, you will be less apt to buy the highs and sell the lows. You will know that you do not want to buy just below a major point of resistance, and you do not want to sell just above support. Support and resistance need to be broken before you put your money at risk. Use key numbers for entry, exit, and stops. I use key numbers in several ways. First, I use the yearly, monthly, and weekly opening price to create a trend line that depicts the big market picture. Once I have a broad view of the markets, I am better able to analyze current market moves and decide whether I should be long, short, or out of the market altogether. When the market opens every day, I have that big picture in my mind, and it helps me to stay on the right side of the market. Once I have a clear long-term view, I focus on shorter and shorter time periods and zero in on the trade at hand. I identify the key numbers that are nearest to the point where the market is currently trading. Then I use those key numbers to determine entry points, profit targets, and stop placement. Integrate numbers with time. If I am buying the market, I do not want to buy it just below a major key resistance point. Such an action would be foolish. Instead, I want my point of entry to be just above resistance so that I can ride the market up to the next resistance point and make money. Likewise, I do not want to sell just in front of support. If the bulls are too strong and the bears too weak, the support will hold and I will be in a losing situation. Knowing and wisely using key numbers helps me to make money. I cannot emphasize enough the value of key numbers. If you are not familiar with key numbers and do not use these numbers in your trading, I strongly suggest that you refer back to Chapter 3, because key numbers are unquestionably very important. Accurate tape reading is essential for successful trading. Without it, a trader is like a hiker lost in a dense forest with no compass and does not know where to go. There are a lot of aspects to tape reading. First, you need a big picture view of the broad market so that you are aware of the market's general tendency. Is Wall Street singing a bullish or bearish tune? After you have a clear concept of the big picture, focus down to the current market. Compare the immediate trading situation to the big picture trend. Are they in agreement? If not, how far apart are they? If the big picture is strongly bullish and the current market is slightly bearish, be cautious of selling. The market may just be experiencing a dip, and the bull may quickly return to gore you. By using key numbers and trend lines, you can hopefully stay on the winning side. Once you have a big or long-term market view, as well as a current or short-term view, verify your analysis. Do other indicators and markets support your opinion? Check other markets. Major market, indices, and exchanges tend to trend together. I always track the S&P Futures Index, the Dow Futures, the DAX Futures, and the NASDAQ Futures. Before deciding to enter the market, I look for confirmation from these other markets. Say, for example, that I'm considering buying the S&P Futures. Before I buy, I want to know if these other markets are also bullish. If the bulls are in charge of the other markets, I feel that my buying action has confirmation. However, if there is a divergence in the market, I step aside and look closer. Sometimes, when a major index or exchange is lagging, there is a reason for it. Do not ignore it. Instead, use it like a red flag of caution and dig deeper and look harder at the market. I have often been saved from losing positions by seeing divergence among the markets and staying out. If there is a genuine bullish or bearish move, the big indices and exchanges will generally all join in and move in the same direction, thus offering you confirmation of your analysis or leading you to question your decision. Never read prices in isolation. Do not read prices in isolation. A price has no meaning unless it is placed in the context of the market. When placed in context, what does the price tell you? Is it a good buy or sell point? If not, stay away. Wait until you see the right setup for trading. Before clicking the mouse, be sure that the major indicators support you. There are a number of market indicators that can help you read the tape. I always monitor the New York Stock Exchange issues, the NASDAQ issues, the TICK, TRIN, V-Factor, and T-TICK. Through years of experience in trading, I learned how to read and interpret these indicators. Chapter 4 explains them in depth and gives you direction as to how I use each one of them. Suffice it to say here that you need to check with all of them before trading, and you need to have confirmation for your buying or selling position. Time is another aspect of tape reading. In order to read the tape correctly, you have to be aware of time and know the role that time plays in trading. A market indicator may mean one thing at 9 a.m., but the identical reading on that indicator may have a different meaning at 1:45 p.m. This is true because certain times during the day are more active than others, and I find the market indicators easier to read and more reliable during the active times. When the market is too slow and there's a lull in the action, the indicators are less predictable and it is too easy to get false readings. Therefore, I generally stay out of the market during these times. My best trading opportunities present themselves during trade zones. Just be sure that when you're reading the tape, you are considering time and its significance. Trading is an art and not a science. Always remember that trading is an art and not a science. There is no simple rule to follow that will always give you an insured result. There are many shades of gray. Therefore, you need to dedicate yourself to the task of mastering tape reading. It is not easy, and the skill is not developed overnight. Becoming a good tape reader can take hours and maybe years of devoted work, and it will probably cost you more than a few dollars. But if you are consistent and persistent, you can master this aspect of the trading game. Every trader knows the power of emotions in trading. Once real money is put on the line, there is a tendency to get greedy, fearful, or act arrogantly. To be a winner, you must control these emotions and maintain balance. Greed is a tremendously powerful emotion. It does not matter how much money we have, we always seem to want more. One of the most common misunderstandings of new traders is that they believe that they will begin day trading and get rich quick. I've never seen that happen. You must keep your expectations reasonable and in line with your level of training and experience. If you do not, you will be doomed to fail. Greed will cause you to enter trades that are too risky and you will lose money. Or you will have a winning trade, but greed causes you to hold out for excessive profits that the market is unwilling to give you. Consequently, while you're waiting for that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, the market hits a key number, shifts, and your profit turns into a loss. Keep greed in check, or it will destroy your trading business. Another dangerous emotion is fear. Trading involves calculated risks. If you are fearful of all risks, you cannot trade. That does not mean that you should act foolishly with your money and get yourself into dangerous situations where the odds are against you. What it does mean is that you have analyzed the market carefully, determined the extent of your risk, know that you can afford the risk, and are willing to take it. Relax and let your strategy work. Don't let fear sabotage trading. If you are overly fearful, you will have trouble clicking the mouse even when market conditions are ideal and your analysis is perfect. You will hesitate, wait, and miss money-making chances. Fear will also destroy you in another way. It will make you question yourself every time the market moves even slightly against you. You may logically expect the market to dip or swing a little here and there. But if fear takes charge, any move against your position makes you run for cover and exit what might be a winning trade. Generally, when this happens, a loss is suffered when a profit could have been gained. Fear steals the rewards that could be attained if emotions are balanced. Good trading requires emotional balance. A final emotion that often leads to extreme distress is arrogance. Many traders just can't seem to admit that they're wrong. They get into the market on the wrong side, and then they ignore all of the indicators that are telling them of their mistake. They just keep deluding themselves into believing that they are right, and the market will prove them to be so at any moment. In the meantime, their capital is eroding. Have faith in your analysis, but do not be arrogant. Everyone makes mistakes. Study the market before you enter and identify the point at which you are sure that you're wrong. If the market goes to the identified point, exit your position and move to the sidelines for further analysis. Don't stay in the position and get slaughtered. Even the best traders make mistakes. Just try to keep your losses low so that you'll be able to stay in the game for the long haul. Some techniques for taming your emotions. I have several techniques that help me to stay in balance. First, I never trade without a protective stop. This is so important for a number of reasons. First, it saves you from a devastating loss if some news breaks or the market crashes or soars. Second, if you are wrong and you place your protection at the point that you know you are wrong, the market will hit your stop and generally remove you from the losing position. Without a hard stop in place, it's too easy to stick with a losing position in the hopes that the market will shift. Hoping, wishing, and dreaming will not move or change the numbers. Just get out of losers as soon as you can and preserve your capital. Another technique that I use is the 2-minute rule. Most of my winning trades begin to pay me fast. My trading method is based on getting paid early and getting into a free ride position. Therefore, I often watch the clock. If I am not in a profitable position within 2 minutes, I scrutinize the trade carefully. Perhaps I made a mistake and need to exit the position rather than accept a big loss. If the market is acting unpredictably, I do not want to be in it. So what if you exit the position and a few minutes later the market moves in your direction? You can always re-enter the market. Just be sure that you focus on preserving your capital so that you can maintain your trading business. Traders that do not have a proven strategy are lost. They have no plan that can help them win the game. Their trading is no more accurate than the aim of an inexperienced and blindfolded gunman who fires at a target in the dark. Trading is a business, and just like any other business, you need a strategic plan. Carefully analyze your personal financial situation and determine the amount of capital that you can risk on the venture. Think about yourself and your disposition. Can you deal with the potential losses that you may incur? Can you cope with the ups and downs of the market? Do you have the time to trade? If you want to master the game, you must invest not only money, but time. You have to study, research, observe, and immerse yourself in the markets and data about them. If you don't have the money, the emotional predisposition, and the time to run and manage your trading, maybe you should select a different line of business. If you have these assets and are willing to devote them to trading, then begin your study and devise an action strategy. There is one big market question that you must always answer before clicking your mouse and executing a trade. Should I be long, short, or out of the market? The answer to the question will guide your actions. Just be sure that when you answer the question, your decision is confirmed by other markets, indices, and indicators. The three T's of trading can help you to stay profitable. I use a multiple contract trading approach. That is why I select my market entries so carefully. If I am not on target and do not manage my trade, I can lose more money than I could if I only traded one or two contracts. But if I am accurate and manage effectively, I limit losses and increase profits. Remember that I have many years of experience. Beginners should start slowly and get profitable before trading large numbers of contracts. They should trade one or two contracts and hone their skills before attempting to trade multiples. Always consider risk first. For beginners, trading a large number of contracts is too risky. Here are the basics of my approach. I buy or sell multiple contracts or equities and exit them at different levels of profitability. I use a portion of my positions to take quick profits. I call this the tick portion of the trade. After I get a few ticks in my favor, I lighten my load and put some money in the bank. Then I aim for a second profit target and liquidate more of my position with more profit. This part of my approach is referred to as the trading portion. If I'm trading the S&P Futures Index, I may be able to get 2 or 3 points of profit out of these positions. Finally, I follow the trend with the remaining contracts. This is obviously the trend phase, the final step in the trade. By this time, if the trade has been successful, I've put money in the bank and I can move my stop to a break-even position. Now, I have limited my risk with the trade because the money I have already taken from the market will finance the trade for me. I refer to this strategy as getting a free ride from the market. I use the three T's of trading approach because it works for me. You may want to devise your own strategy. Be sure that it is a proven strategy that works for you. There are many ways to approach the market. Find one. Everyone is not comfortable with my strategy, and I am not advocating that everyone adopt it. Every trader must take responsibility for his trading and be willing to accept the consequences of it. The big idea is that you have to have a proven strategy to win, and if mine does not work for you, just find one that does. A strategy must be tactically executed. Once you have devised and mastered a proven strategy, you must execute it correctly. Watch time, key numbers, and market indicators. Don't hesitate when the time is right, and don't jump in too early. Be consistent, disciplined, and prepared. Money management is an essential aspect of trading. One of the most common mistakes that beginners make is not managing their accounts. They lose too much money too fast, and before they know it, their trading business is closing because their capital is gone. That is why it is so important to manage your trades and limit your losses. Begin by managing your account balance. Determine the amount of money that you can afford to lose and that you can emotionally accept losing. Then set that number as your tilt number. If you lose more than that amount on any trade or during any trading day, call it quits and close the trading platform. I cannot set your tilt number for you. You have to determine it for yourself based on your personality and your financial situation. Some traders use a 2% rule, whereas others risk more or less. Another technique that I use is the 3 strikes and you're out rule. Regardless of my monetary loss, if I place 3 losing trades, I quit for the day. Clearly something is not working for me and I need to stop and regroup. I quit even if my monetary loss is very small. Perhaps I managed the losing trades well and was able to get out of them before I lost my shirt. That does not matter. If I was wrong 3 times, either the market is acting up or my analysis is just off. I accept that fact and head for the golf course. Trading is a business that requires good money management. I always know the risk involved with a trade before I take it. If the risk is too great and I cannot afford it, or I'm unwilling to accept it, I just walk away. I let the trade go and wait for a better opportunity. Before I get into the market, I identify my points of entry, my profit targets, and my stop placement. If my stop is hit, I accept my loss and wait for another chance. I also manage every trade and try to limit my losses. It is easy to say and hard to do, but work diligently to keep losses small and profits high. When you're in a trade, keep your eyes on other markets and other indicators and continuously read the tape and adjust your strategy accordingly. One of the most basic and critical ways to protect your capital is to trade with stops. At DTI, we always teach traders to use stops. Without a protective stop, you are totally at the mercy of market forces. If a disaster occurs, you have no protection. It is true that if there is a dramatic and sudden market turn, your stop may be passed over and you may not be taken out of the market. But that would be the exceptional occurrence. If you have stops in place, you have acted prudently to limit your loss in case of disaster. It worked for me and my students on September 11th. Our stop kept us from riding the market down. Remember that trading is not a get-rich-quick game. Keep your greed in check by setting realistic goals and taking reasonable profits. If you experience a losing streak, take a timeout, stop and analyze. Trade only a small position and identify and correct your error before you destroy your account balance. Even if you've studied hard and have devised a winning strategy, there is one external force that can destroy you. That force is news. There are two types of news: breaking news and regularly scheduled economic reports. Breaking news cannot be controlled. A terrorist attack or some other devastating event could occur at any moment. All you can do is prepare to always have protective stops in place and respond as quickly as possible to such an adverse event. Regularly scheduled news events are quite different from breaking news. The public knows when the events are airing. We can read Barron's, the Wall Street Journal, or some other financial publication, or we can check a host of websites that provide this type of helpful information. My recommendation is to exercise extreme caution when scheduled news is reported. The markets often respond to such news in an extremely irrational and dramatic fashion. You don't want to be caught off guard in that type of situation. Unless you are very experienced and really know what you're doing, you should never be in the market when economic news is being reported. Liquidate your positions and move to the sidelines. Let the news come out and let the market digest it. Only then should you consider trading. Chapter 8 contains some of the most important market-moving reports, but there are many others. Before you begin your trading day, be sure that you know the financial and economic reports that will be published that day and plan your trading accordingly. If you are not informed and do not realize that a market move is based on news, you may foolishly enter a position only to find out that you have bought the high or sold the low. Don't be in that situation. Be informed and be out of the market before the news breaks. Technology has come a long way in the last several decades, and trading has been greatly altered by these changes. Today, it is imperative that traders have the right equipment and get the right data and information if they want to be successful. Therefore, in Appendix B, I discussed some of the basic equipment and other things that you will need to begin trading online. Because technological advances are continuously being made, this information will be outdated over time. However, it may be helpful to some of you who are just beginning to play the game. The big idea is that you have to have the right equipment or your chances of success will be diminished. Every professional knows the value of continuing to improve the skills of the job. The professional knows that it's important to stay up to date. Trading is no different than any other profession. If you want to stay at the top of your game, you too have to continue to learn and critique yourself. Of course, you want to read, study, observe, and learn as much as you can from other professionals and from the market itself. But one of your best sources of information is your own trading. Keep a trading diary and use it. Record the trades you make and the reasons you made them. Study both your winners and your losers and learn from them. How can you reduce losses? How can you increase profits? Your trading log contains the answers. Study it carefully. A winning trader has to get the right equipment. Always prepare, evaluate, and improve. Once you identify your mistakes, correct them. Don't just repeat the same errors day after day. If you are continuously making losing trades, you must learn why and fix it. Otherwise, your trading business will end before it has a chance to really get off the ground. As I noted at the beginning of this review chapter, trading is hard. If you're a beginner, approach the market slowly and only trade after you have identified and tested a proven strategy. Then hone your skills and take small steps. When you begin, trade only one or two contracts and make sure that you are profitable before you increase your positions. Be smart and prepare well before trading. The crash of 1987 taught me to manage risk first and consider profit second. If you discipline yourself to always do that, you will be far better off and your chances of success will be tremendously enhanced. Throughout this book, I shared some of the events that impacted my trading and my life. The stories are simple, but the lessons in them are far bigger than the stories themselves. These lessons have helped both me and my students. Remember that every day is a new day and a new opportunity. Learn from the past. Live in the present. Get ready for the future. The market will crash again. Be prepared. Good luck with your trading.